Okay, there you have it. You are worth it all. You are worth it all. And that would be good to play it again, right? Just to remind you. Welcome to the Road to Recovery. I'm your host, Dan Chuba. Coming to you live, you heard me sneeze, right? I sneeze. We have no secrets here. I share everything with you. My sneezes, coughs, laughs, whatever. That's it. It's a live show. That's what live shows do. Actually, if they have a mute button on the mic, then they would probably have muted that. But I don't have a mute button. I am live, and, well, that's just the way it is. So hope you're enjoying this wonderful weekend we have here in the Chicagoland area. We are coming from West Chicago, from the offices of Daniel and Associates Real Estate. I am Daniel of Daniel and Associates Real Estate. And probably the only reason why I'm bringing that up is because I am also in recovery. I have been sober now for a total of 24 years, 1 month, and 20 days today. Yeah, that's incredible. 24 years. 24 years ago, what a sad individual I was. And I was pretty sad. I had a lot of problems going on, etc. Now, just because I'm sober doesn't mean I don't have problems. I do have some, but not anywhere near the capacity of what I was experiencing back then. In fact, this last week was Boss's Day, and my staff got me a card and a cake and a gift card to go to Portillo's. I don't know if you guys know Portillo's, but if you're in this part of the country, Portillo is, you know, one of the premium places for food, and I got a gift card thanks to my staff, my wonderful staff. I have a wonderful staff. I have a lot of people that work for me now, okay? And while I'm not wealthy, I still have, like my sponsor, Bobby Kay, used to say, if you had money problems, you really don't have problems. And I never knew what he meant, at least I didn't know what he meant in the beginning. But I do know what he means now, and he's right. Because, you know, money comes and money goes, and, you know, things work out just the way they're supposed to. We worry about way too many things in our lives, and we don't want you to worry about much of anything. We want you to work at staying sober, whatever your symptom is. I want to say symptom. This is a live show. If you want to call in and discuss anything, area code 323-580-5755. Okay, and we will talk about anything as it relates to anything, really, but mostly addictions and recovery from addictions. And why do I do this show? We're in our eighth year, right? Eighth year. We're about 8.5 years now. And what we're doing is, number one, it's mostly for me because I need this. I need to stay close to the program. And, yeah, like most of us, when we get better, we get away from going to meetings. And I think it's been months since I've gone to an AA meeting, yet that's what got me on track, got my life straightened out, got me working wonderful things in my life. And yet, isn't it amazing how it gets you there and then we desert it? It's amazing. But that's human nature for you, you know? That's the way it is. Place of business. Okay, so Steve asked what we were going to talk about. I don't know. You know, last week, 2 weeks ago, we had that gentleman from Long Island call in, John Knox. It was great hearing from him. He had a lot of good things to say. And, you know, it's always nice to get the opinion of somebody listening to the show and hear their thoughts. So, hello, John from Long Island. I also want to say a shout-out to my friend, dear friend, Anna, in the New York area. Hello, Anna. You're doing well, doing lots of great things. My friend Danny, going back and forth to Florida. There's still crazy going on in his life, but, you know, he seems to be okay. Handling it, and he's doing it sober. He's doing it without alcohol. Good for him. Did we talk about this last week? No, I don't. Jeez, I was in St. Louis last week, wasn't I? I don't even remember. I have to look at my schedule. I did a show from St. Louis last week. I did. Yeah, it was a very short, brief show because I was in St. Louis. And let's see. Let me go back a week. Was I in St. Louis last week? Meet with Ed Stasny. Where was I last week? Or was that? Let's see. No, 2 weeks. Oh, my God. I swear. The mind is going. It is. Gosh, it's been a long time. It's been 2 weeks since I've been in St. Louis. But it was nice connecting with two friends, Michelle and her sister Melanie. I didn't really talk to Melanie, but Michelle, she and I did. I met Michelle online, kind of a dating thing online about 20 years ago, and turns out her email name or her name on the internet site, whatever, was Shell Wheels. That's what she called herself, Shell Wheels. And it turned out the reason why she called her that, because she was in a wheelchair. She's a paraplegic. She has no use of her legs. So anything below the waist is pretty much numb, and she's what a trooper. She always has a great attitude. She was a bride in her early 20s, and when she came down with lupus and it attacked her spine, when it was determined she was going to be a cripple, her husband left her. And who would say that any of us wouldn't have done the same thing? Because, gosh, you know, that's a big thing. And I've learned, and I'm learning more and more and more, that I have no right to judge anybody, okay? Unless, of course, I've been given that assignment on a hearing panel, which I enjoy being on a hearing panel because I like to think that I'm very fair when I'm listening to complaints from people. I was on the realtor board complaint panel, whatever, the pro standards, and we were charged with, you know, keeping our community of professionals flying straight, at least the ones that came in front of us. And that was an interesting job, but, you know, I was very judgmental, and I think that we make decisions when we meet people about who they are and what they are, and we put them in a space in our lives. I think that is true. But we always have to cut loose a little bit, because what you see isn't always who they are, and that is so true. You know, definitely don't judge a book by its cover. If so, if anybody would do that, then I would be in real big trouble, because I guess as a book cover, I don't read very well, but, you know, when you open the book and you find out about Dan, the guy, I'm okay. In fact, the lovely Mrs. Martha, my wife, has oftentimes told me that, and I'm so grateful that she's come along in my life. So, yeah, the lovely Mrs. Martha. Okay, so... Oh, here's a joke somebody sent. Did I say this one already? Yeah, I don't know if I told you this joke. I'm going to tell you a joke today. And if anybody wants to call in with a joke, please do. 323-580-5755. I know that I'm told that we should lighten up the show a little bit. And I'm going to get some people that go on the show one of these days. But, oh well, for the time being, you're stuck with me. The uncle says to his nephew, "A little bird told me you are doing drugs." And his nephew responds, "You're talking with birds, and I'm the one doing drugs?" That's the joke. Go figure. I'm the one doing drugs, and you're the one talking to little birds. Okay. How's that working for you? All righty. Knows a figure of speech, but hey, that was pretty good. All right. Well, thanks for that joke, whoever you were that sent that in. I didn't attach a name to it. So, thank you. And my friend Tony in Chicago, things are happening. We might get something done with your place out this way. Yes, it's not a dead issue. It's still working. I'm a real estate broker, and I got to tell you something. It is an interesting world to be in, real estate, that is. You know, the expectations that people have for what we do is high. I don't know how to dispel that, but on the other hand, part of it is justified, and we do pretty good things, and I like what I do. I like what I do, and I like doing it on behalf of my clients and, you know, making it happen for them. It's always a nice thing, especially when it does, in fact, happen. So... But I got to tell you, sometimes people can be a little bit much, though, when they have expectations that are really, really overwhelming. How about you? Do you have expectations in your life? Do you expect things from people or from yourself that are unrealistic? And what is a justifiable expectation? I remember my sponsor said that I had to get rid of all my expectations, and to the most part, it made sense, and I did, okay, simply because that was just unrealistic, my expectations, okay, and when they're unrealistic, they make havoc with a lot of things. Especially in my life. I used to get all weirded out, by the way, when things didn't work out quite the way they were supposed to. And now, you know, I know it's not the end of the world, so that's the good news, okay? So if something doesn't happen the way it was planned, intended, what I thought, okay, hoped for, because most of the time I'm hoping for things to happen. I'll be really candid. Expectations? Not really. But hopes? Yeah, definitely I have hopes, okay? And nothing wrong with hopes, because sometimes hopes, well, it didn't work out, and I could just shrug my shoulders. But I don't know. You know what came to my mind? I ran into the mayor of our town, and I told him how disappointed I was, as well as others in the community, at our lackluster approach to we had the largest steam engine locomotive come to our town, and yeah, it was a pretty exciting thing that it came to town, and a lot of people were excited, but really the town didn't do much of anything, and it was, you know, it was kind of sad that nothing took place and nobody really, you know, heralded the fact that the train was in town. That was pretty exciting. And so when I brought it to his attention, he got noticeably upset about the fact that, you know, I told him we were disappointed. I don't know. Did he have a right to get upset? Did I have a right to tell him my feelings and, you know, disappointments? I'm not used to that. You know, I'm not used to saying that without hurting somebody's feelings. And I don't mean to hurt feelings, right? I don't like hurting anybody's feelings these days. It's just not what I want to do. And so he was, you know, noticeably upset that, let's see here. Oh, let's see if that's going to work. Nope, that's not going to get it done. All right. Guys. Yep. So, yeah, I ran into him in the store, and you know what? I get frustrated when I go into a grocery store and I can't figure the prices out, and they have them barcoded, but there's no way to read the barcoding, especially flowers. And I don't mean to be a cheapskate, but I like buying flowers for my wife. I just don't think I need to pay, you know, $50 for them when I can buy them for, you know, $5 or $10 and buy more over a period of time. And oh well, such is life. I just I thought I was buying a $5 bundle of flowers. Ended up buying, it was the first time it was 15, and I said no, I'm not going to pay 15. And then the second time it was 10, and I just said, listen, I'll take the 10 and just be done with it. You know, I mean, it was my wife, and she's deserving of flowers. I'm just trying to watch my funds right now because I don't want to be too scatterbrained about them. I'm looking at my aquarium chair, and as I speak of scatterbrains, I just cleaned two of them today, drained water out of half of water out of them and refilled them just to keep them going. You know, they're doing very well, but it's an environment, and if you don't keep the environment clean, you know, they'll die. It's like being in a smog-filled world. And, you know, I got to change the filters on them on a regular basis. I got to change water so they dilute the toxins out of the water. But they seem to all be doing good. I know that way. One angelfish, I have this really big angel, the size of like, oh gosh, what are they now? They started out the size of a nickel. Now they are the size of a, oh, probably a tennis ball. They're pretty big. But one of them is getting beat the living crap out of them, and I think it's going to end up not living. Sad. Sad because even in the world of fish, they are jealous. There's jealousy, and there's fighting, you know, and that's what it is. I'm looking at my other tank here. I'm looking at some of the fish in there, and I can see they're just literally getting old, and they're going to die from old age because they've had a good life. They lived long. They got gigantic. Unbelievable. The neon tetras. My neon tetras are huge. They're humongous. I've got 12. I tried to put more in there, and I don't think they liked the new guys coming in. They just liked the old guys, so they kind of wiped them out. It happens. Even in nature, right? Even in nature. All right, so topics are a few. I've got all kinds of reading material. Why don't I just get some of that out of my little, I guess it's box full of stuff. I've got a box full of stuff. Okay. You know, I used to get stuff out of the newspaper, but I haven't read anything in the newspaper about crazy people doing crazy things, but they're out there. It's just sad, you know, when we've got people killing people. You know, I'm going to just come out and say it. Cops, police officers killing people for no real reason. Just, you know, I don't even know that it's in the course of duty. They just wipe it out, go up to them and shoot them. That's just not a good thing. We got to stop that. Okay, let's see. What are we going to do here? Let's go to our website. Let's go check our website out. And that is roadtorecovery.club. And that's put together by Steve. Steve does it. Look at this. Beautiful. Holy cow. Life gets down. Join the club. Join the club. Okay, well, life doesn't have me down, but it can get you down every once in a while. What are the 12 steps? Get involved. Let us know how we can help you. The 12 steps. You know what the 12 steps are? We should. We should probably just review. You know, we used to start, and that's one of the things I liked about AA meetings. I've got to tell you something. AA meetings, to me, are really enjoyable. And they start out by saying, talking about how it works. How it works. AA. How it works. AA. Da, 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 da. How it works. And this is really cool. I'm going to read this because this has always inspired me. Okay? Really did. It did. Okay, but this is how it works, how the program of recovery works, regardless if you're an alcoholic or a drug addict, sex addict, anything. If you're a gambler, if you're addicted to chaos, you know, I know that in my youth I was addicted to being around my family because for some reason I just felt drawn that I needed to be there, but they were very hurtful, and I finally was able to get away from them and stay away from them. Now, seeing them once in a while in a setting like a wedding is better, and nobody that I saw was abusing alcohol this last time. I have a sister that once in a while now drinks a bit, and, she hasn't figured out what's going on in her life, so that's her decision to make, but, you know, my family is... It's much more tolerable. Plus, being around with my wife, Martha, she's like the balancing between the crazy and the whatever. She puts sanity back in the situation. She's really a special lady. And for this, I am grateful. Okay. So, Chapter 5 of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, it starts out and it's called How It Works. And it goes like this. Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely give themselves to the simple program, usually men and women who are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. There are such unfortunates. They are not at fault. They seem to have been born that way. They are naturally incapable of grasping and developing a manner of living which demands rigorous honesty. Their chances are less than average. There are those, too, who suffer from grave emotional and mental disorders, but many of them do recover if they have the capacity to be honest. Now, our stories disclose, in a general way, what we used to be like, what happened, and what we are like now. Let's see. Our story goes in general what we used to be like, what happened, and what we are like now. If you decided you want what we have and are willing to go to any length to get it, then you are ready to take certain steps. And some of these we balked. We thought we could find an easier, softer way, but we could not. With all the earnestness at our command, we beg of you to be fearless and thorough from the very start. Some of us have tried to hold on to our old ideas, and the result was nil until we let go absolutely. Remember that we deal with alcohol, cunning, baffling, powerful. Without help, it is too much for us. But there is one who has all power, that one is God. May you find him now. Half measures availed us nothing. We stood at the turning point. We asked his protection and care with complete abandon. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol. Now, I'll take a stop here, folks, boys and girls, anybody listening. You can take the word alcohol out and insert anything you want in there. So let's say that again. We admitted we were powerless over people, places, things. We were powerless over our gambling. We were powerless over our drugs. We were powerless over our need or want for sex or lust or food or power, authority, work, money, any of these things, okay? And that our lives had been become unmanageable because we were trying to get those things. We came to believe, number two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Number three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Number four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Number five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. Number six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Number seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Number eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Number nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Number 10, continued to take personal inventory, and we were wrong, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Number 11, sought through prayer and medication to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. Number 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics or to anybody suffering any type of an addictive nature and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Many of us exclaimed, "What an order! I can't go through with it." Do not be discouraged. No one among us has been able to maintain anything like perfect adherence to these principles. We are not saints. The point is that we are willing to grow along spiritual lines. The principles we have set down are guides to progress. We claim spiritual progress rather than spiritual perfection. Our description of the alcoholic, the chapter to the agnostic, and our personal adventures before and after make clear three pertinent ideas. A, that we were alcoholic or drug addicts or food nuts or whatever you want to call it, sexaholics, and could not manage our own lives, that probably no human power could have relieved our alcoholism, and that God would and could and would if he were sought. See, that's why I love going to meetings, because the first thing out of our box, people admit we're not perfect. We're not perfect. I went to church today with the lovely Mrs. Martha. She was playing bells, and I will attend any bell ringing session she has or when she sings in choir whenever I can, because I'm her biggest fan, okay? But the rest of it just is beyond me. The surreal attitudes of the leaders, where they've got to be super beings. Why don't they just be real human beings and talk to us and share with us what they believe they understand in different circumstances of how our God wants us to live and treat and all that stuff. But I love going to a meeting because we start out by saying that we are flawed. We are flawed people. I'm an alcoholic or drug addict or whatever we are. That we aren't that incredible. That our lives had become unmanageable and out of control and whatever because of our obsessive, compulsive attitude and use of whatever we were into. And, you know, yeah, that we wanted a better life. Now, people go to church for the same reason. They want a better life. Everybody wants a better life. And we all want to commune with the one great being, our God. We do. We want to commune with our God because we want to know what he has in plans. His plans for us. And I do. I want to know what his plans for us are. I want to know what his plans for me are. You know, if he's got anything in particular that he wants me to do. You know, I try to do my best. I'm a human being. I'm a human being with flaws. I'm certainly a flawed person. You know. And I am writing to a friend. And let's see. Okay, we read that. And so I just don't get church. I just don't. I don't get it. I don't want to be there. I don't know. I don't want to sit there and have people tell me how to live my life. I want to hear how people live their lives and how it worked or didn't work for them. And let the God within each of us and me, you know, rise up in the form of my conscience or whatever it is and tell me what I need to do and how I need to live a better life. That's all. You know, I was writing some things down when I'm reading. I was reading that. You know, I'm writing things down. And I was writing and noting how we were talking about the honesty, rigorous honesty. If you want to get this program, it really is beholden of you that you would get rigorously honest with yourself. Yourself. You don't have to worry about anybody else at this point, but just yourself. Can you be honest with yourself? You know, I'd like to think that I'm fairly honest with myself, really. I'd like to think that. I mean, you can think whatever you want, but I like to think it because, well, yeah, it's just a thing. Just being honest, that's all, with who I am, what I am, how I am, and I know that I can grow if I'm honest, and I look at myself and not deny, you know, not live in denial that I don't have issues still, that if I want to pretend like my life is so perfect and wonderful, and it's not bad, it really isn't bad, but it still has a long way to go, you know. We're talking about funds. I'm driving in a beat-up pickup truck that I own. I bought for transporting things and trash, and fortunately, it's a very mechanically sound vehicle. It just looks horrible. But it's okay. You know, at least I'm not walking because my car was totaled a couple months ago maybe, and, you know, I'm not going to get another car for another couple weeks or so. Because I'm not ready to add another car payment onto my life because I have a refinance loan. You know, and if you would have asked me if I had these worries back then, back when I first sobered up, I didn't. The only worry I had was my wife, my third wife, was leaving me. We were getting divorced. You know, I was barely able to pay my bills. I owed everybody and their brother. Nobody talked to me. And, you know, that was the story. And today, it's not like that. I've got a lot of good things going on the ball. I just got to get them done. And I got to keep my attitude in the game. That's the toughest thing sometimes, you know, the toughest things. Because I don't want to run around on this world anymore. I don't like chasing after things, you know. But we have to do them. You know, I agreed to be the Lions Club president 2 years in a row. I didn't think that went out. I hated to see the thought that the club was not going to make it. And here I thought maybe I was going to be the hero and the champion, but I don't have that kind of time to lend and do that. And that's a big part of the issue is, you know, it's okay to make a commitment. It's another thing to keep it. And sometimes it's not easy. I'm doing my best to do what I can to keep the commitments that I make, right? Keep the commitments that I make. And I'm not beating myself up, though, too much when I can't keep the ones I tried. If I did it sincerely, but I got to slow myself down and think about this in the future, right? Got to think about it in the future. So, okay, pretty quiet out here. I don't hear a lot of people talking. The call in number is area code 323-580-5755. If you want to approach any specific topic, conversation, you know, that's how recovery works, is by discussing and talking about things, okay? It's a very simple program, you know. It's a simple program for complicated people. And the amazing part of it is how we try to make things, you know, change things. I can't begin to tell you how many times in the course of working the program that guys said to me they wanted to start a different program, a recovery program that would be better than Alcoholics Anonymous. And, you know, it's just laughs because there's such creativity amongst alcoholics. It's just we usually try to reinvent the wheel instead of just going with the flow and you know, moving on and moving forward. But, hey, we are who we are. I saw a guy today that looked like Popeye. I really thought it. An old Popeye. It was kind of funny walking along as I was on my way to church. Please mention I'm kind of it will be held at the West Chicago High School South Entrance to the cafeteria. Okay. Call John for any specifics. We will have entertainment. How about that? The middle school children will be performing dances, I believe. Mary Ellen. I am looking forward to talking with you on a regular basis because typing is such a chore for me. Thank you again for all. That'll be good. We'll send that off to her. I know I'm doing that in the middle of the show, but yeah, I had to get that off. I've had that thing for a while. What was that? It was a letter to her that she's supposed to be putting a newsletter out, and she has no information because I don't give her any information. You know, and sometimes the simplest things can be the most difficult tasks. You know, I was thinking about Alzheimer's. You know, and you could just listen to this show and you could probably go, wow, this guy is definitely a candidate for Alzheimer or dementia or something because he just jumps topics like crazy. Well, that's always been my life challenge in some ways and blessing in another. But, you know, I know we started talking about honesty and lying. You know, just look around the world, lying. Our president, everybody seems to be lying. Nobody wants to tell the truth anymore. What's the truth used to have such power, and what it was, and what we did, and how we did it, and yet we don't get enough truth in our lives, right? Lying is the kind of the thing of the day, and that's so sad because what do we tell our children by lying? We tell them all, give them all the wrong message. That's for sure. Wrong, wrong, wrong. Hey, I do want to make a special shout out to my friend in California, by the way, Cleora, C-L-E-O-R-A, Cleora. She is by far one of the most incredible people I know in the recovery program. She does so much for so many, and she's struggling too. She is still struggling with her addiction, and I think she's got it under handle, but it roars up once in a while. And this last week, she was, you know, on the internet describing her pain and the struggle that she was having for it. And I saw it about 2 in the morning, and I couldn't help but to want to reach out and just comfort her and give her a hug. I've never met the woman, but she is certainly worthy of hugs. And she does so much to help people in Narcotics Anonymous out there. And she, you know, but again, she gets caught up in her own pain too, and we all do. I don't fortunately have any real struggles with, you know, the need for drinking or drugging, but I'm not going to tell you that I don't have, you know, some issues from time to time about, you know, things, and it's a reality of life. That's all. We you know, if you're an alcoholic, you struggle with things here and there. And I do, but this young lady, she really has the bug and is bitten by it. And I tell you what, I know that she has impacted the lives of so many people in such a wonderful way. So if everybody would take a few moments out of their week, out of their day, right now maybe, let's take a few moments and just say a prayer to your higher power on behalf of this woman, Cleora, and just let him know that she's hurting. Ask if you would take away some of her pain and or give her more strength to endure. Let her know how loved and important and valued she is for what her gift is. And her gift is helping so many people find recovery and stay recovered. That is an incredible and powerful gift that she carries through life. And she's been doing it now for such a long time out in California. We've tried to get her on the show, and the show is really not important to her. And it creates more challenges and issues than she really wants to deal with, but that's okay. If she doesn't want it, she doesn't like it, we are okay with that. We only want people on the show that want to come on, but we can still, you know, be amazed by this in person's gifts, and she does definitely have gifts. And, you know, we want to thank her for all that she does, the assistance, the help that she gives to those suffering out in California is such an important, so very important to their successes out there. I don't even know what part of California she's in anymore. I can't remember, is Los Angeles or San Diego? I was out in San Diego and I went to a meeting out there. It's fun to go to meetings out of state. It really is. It is fun to go to meetings out of state. Oh, I wrote another note when I was reading that. And the other note that I wrote was my brother Dave. Oh, Dave. We should all say a prayer for Dave. Because Dave, well, I don't know. He alienated himself from the family. Maybe that was his way of keeping safe because, you know, you got to take care of yourself. But I think it's more than that. I don't think Dave's getting to meetings. Dave was a real big meeting person, and he was doing a lot of good things, and he's a very good guy, and he was picking up the cause of transgender relations because he's got a, you know, in his circle, his girlfriend's daughter or son is a transgender child, and I don't know what he was hoping to find from all of us. I know that my whole family was kind of surprised and, you know, felt like he was angry because he didn't get the kind of support or help that he wanted from them. We weren't quite sure what exactly he was hoping for, but oh well, you know, it's not that people don't want to help him. We just didn't know exactly how to help them and what we could possibly do to help him out. And, well, so hopefully, Dave, you'll hang in there. I was thinking maybe of reaching out to him at some point. He is my brother, and he was a lot of fun. And while he created a lot of issues and problems in life, too, that's secondary nature because that's what people do. You know, we just do what we possibly can do. Okay. Attachment unavailable. What was that attachment? Oh, confidence not available anymore. Okay, fine. All right. We'll just forget it. Forget it then. Okay. Well, listen, it is going on 10 minutes to 8. Pretty quiet out here. It doesn't appear that anybody wants to talk. And I don't really have a lot to say again this week. Just grateful for another day. Another week of being sober. You know, we're settling down. Winter is starting to show that it's that far in the future. And, you know, it is. We're going to be dealing with bad weather soon. It's getting colder. I'm still trying to get in some golfing. That's cool with my friends. I got some friends that, you know, it's nice to have friends. I have some really good friends that I've been making. And it was Marvin, my friend Marvin's birthday yesterday. Congratulations and happy birthday to Marvin. For about 5 minutes there, it turned out I was older than he, or he was older than me. But after 5 minutes of review and figuring out what his birthday was, after all, turns out that I am older than Marvin, so, oh well, such is life, right? It was kind of fun for a moment to think that Marvin was older than I. Oops, what was that? Boom. Boom shakalaka, right? All right. We're going to take a stab. Maybe we'll have a topic for next week. Since nobody's calling and nobody's coming, we're going to probably end the show 10 minutes from now. Let's play a little Marilyn Scott. Let me see if I can even find her. I haven't played her for a while, and I love listening to Marilyn Scott. So let's get her on the horn here, Marilyn. And we're going to play. We're going to go right into some other songs of yours, okay? So sit back and listen to Marilyn Scott for a few minutes. Maybe we'll come back and have something to say, but if not, we'll come back and end it. Here on the Road to Recovery, the Blog Talk Radio, part of the Link Local Network of Broadcasting. Your host, Dan Truba.
Simon says that now your mind desires a vacation.
If the moon Thank you. I was a fool.
God. I love this Marilyn Scott. We're going to listen one more.
Good.
Okay, well, that's about it for Marilyn Scott, and it looks like it's going to be about it for us. We're going to sign off. I want to thank anybody who was listening. Hope you enjoyed Marilyn Scott, as I did, and listen. And I had a chance to vent a little bit and get a little bit off my head and chest. We got a lot of things going on. You know what? I put things in the hands of my higher power, and he gets them done, and I don't have to take them back. I got a good life. All I got to do is stay sober one day, one step at a time, and it gets better. Life gets better for me, and I have no complaints whatsoever. So thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Thank you to my higher power. Thank you all to listening. And if you didn't listen, that's okay. And if you got something out of it, okay. And maybe you'll call in next time. Okay. But that's it for now. We'll be back next weekend. Next Sunday for more of The Road to Recovery here on Blog Talk Radio, part of the Link Local Network of Broadcasting. So I'm going to say goodnight, half hour early, but thanks again, and have a great week unless you have other plans.